the Brandon Sherry Oddcast, sponsored by Metashare. To find out more about the radio show or Brant's book, Unoffendable, go to BrantHanson.com.
Greetings to you. I am Brant. Producer Sherry's here. I am an introvert. She's an extrovert. I am a white male. She's an African-American female. I'm from the country. She's from the city.
Look at what you're getting here,
it's
everyone.
Like you've got Country Mouse, City Mouse live on air.
What other show would you listen to?
Because single, married. We got that going on.
That's true. I am single. You're married.
And this is good. But we're both believers in Jesus.
Yes.
And that helps with the friendship a whole lot.
It does. I don't know that we'd be friends either. Otherwise, no,
no way. Okay. No way. No, I'd walk right out right now. We'd get wedged in the door. Both of us would take off so fast. Just kidding. Anyway, we're really glad you're here. And what was the thing? Oh, this woman. The reason I brought this up is a woman asked about friendship for her husband. He doesn't have any friends, and she wondered what I thought. Like, how can he get some friends? So, as an adult guy who struggled with this myself, I want to talk about that. We have some friends and neighbors. Maybe you're like this. You know somebody who's like this. They are spiritual people. They believe in a spirit or like a universal force, positive force for that's out there, something you can relate to. Not relate to. It's just that you can't.
That's the problem.
It's a force. It's a positive force. It's a problem and a benefit.
Okay.
Because I think once something gets personal, it's a little scary.
That's true.
So like everybody believes in this force that's out there in nature or whatever. It's out in the space and... you want to tap into this energy or whatever, but as soon as that becomes a personal God, that force becomes personal, it's a little scary. But the problem with running away from that is that I think we get trapped, and I can see it, trapped in this loop of yearning for exactly that thing and then running away from it. So we're yearning for something transcendent that makes life have meaning, that gives us direction and purpose. And then we don't want the personal thing and we wind up lonely. I mean, it's just this, it's this loop of yearning and loneliness because we're not embracing the God who is. I think ultimately it's really good news. I know it's scary at first that he's personal and he cares about all the aspects of our lives, things that we might want to try to hide from him. I know that's scary, but what if the news is ultimately good? What if he's like a surgeon that wants to go in and take that stuff and remove it for our own good because it's going to kill us? I mean, he wants us to thrive. What if he's like that? Then it's good. Been reading about ladies and what they're fixing to do at Target. They're getting ready to fight.
What?
Yeah.
No.
At Target over the Victoria Beckham line that just came out. It's true. It just came out. And it says here that women are ready to fight each other in the aisles over it. So have you already gotten in fights about it? Or are you planning to get in fights tomorrow?
No.
Really?
No. I have not gotten in a fight over it. I have never gotten in a fight over...
It says here you're really excited about it, though. That you're ready to... whatever it takes.
Fisticuffs right there in the aisle of Target.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't say so. Especially because I don't really shop at Target. Like, that's not working in their favor.
No, Target says you're wild about Target.
They've done the research.
Yeah. Oh, well, we know that if it was on the internet, it had to
be. It has to be true. Yes.
I didn't know that about myself. I am so excited about Target.
All right, good.
You know, my wife came home and her knuckles were bruised the other night. I was like, what? But she had some cool new stuff.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay.
Sometimes you got to scrap.
Got a question online, and I'm not going to say who it was, but I think this is probably a lot of wives, a lot of women. She's concerned because her husband doesn't have any friends, and she keeps telling him, hey, you need to get some friends. And he's like, no, I don't. And she said, I bring it up all the time. You don't have any friends. And she's like, what do I do? The truth is, your husband does need friends, because we all do. Mm. As an introvert whose easiest path in life is just to be by myself, I can still admit that. But here's the thing, it's just my opinion, okay, since you asked. Having your wife tell you you need to get friends doesn't help very much.
Does it come off like nagging?
Not only that possibility, but you also, it may make me feel like a bit of an awkward failure. Like, yeah, okay, maybe I know it deep down, but I don't know how to do it.
Okay.
And
so then what does she do? Because I could imagine a hopelessness sitting in there.
Totally.
See someone that needs something, but you
can't
get it.
Well, she brought it up.
Okay.
Okay, that's a good idea. I would drop it. And I would pray for him.
Okay.
And because I know that sounds like a Christian answer for everything, but it's true. And like, you're not going to be able to keep telling your husband to get friends. Oh, okay, now I will. Like, mm-hmm. it's not how it works. And again, it's a touchy area because it's an area of, as a guy, I think deep down we do yearn for a band of brothers. And if we don't know how to make it happen, and necessarily just saying you need to do it doesn't help that much. But to honestly, just pray for him. I've prayed for friends for myself and seen God answer that prayer in remarkable ways when I didn't see any hope for it because I don't know how to make friends very easily. But I've seen him answer the prayer, so just keep doing it. Oh, this is kind of awesome. Luis wrote a note. He's a cool guy. And he said to me, he said, I need your help with social smoothness. I need a tip.
He's asking you.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Not really. It's not that interesting that he's coming to me for smoothness tips.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I make friends effortlessly. Okay, that's good for him. Anyway. Mm-hmm. However, I routinely fail at deciphering whether I should shake hands, hug, fist bump, etc. A few days ago at the gym, a buddy walked over to me. I was expecting a handshake. He extended a closed fist looking for a knuckle bump, and I ended up clasping my hand around his fist and shaking it up and down.
Ooh, that's awkward.
It is a little awkward, Luis.
Okay.
Here's what I have figured this out.
Okay. Oh,
have you? No, here's the thing. You always have to be the aggressor.
I mean it. In social interaction?
I mean it.
Okay.
Like, when it comes to, like, shaking hands, you hold your hand 3 feet out there, like, before anybody can do anything. So it's obvious you're the one setting the tone. Or if I suspect people are going to want a hug,
mm-hmm.
I initiate it.
Okay.
I'll open my arms. Because then I avoid
the awkwardness of shaking someone's fist.
That's the problem. It's the problem for me is picking up on social cues.
So you initiate the social cue.
Yeah, maybe aggressor was wrong.
Aggressor was really the wrong word.
Okay. Forget aggressor, Louise.
Initiate.
Initiator. Don't aggress, initiate. Thank you for listening. We're honored that you are. My name is Brant and Sherry's here too. So peeps, I have a theory about this. This is one of those contrived scarcity things. They trot them out seasonally. No one actually really, really likes them.
This is an ongoing issue for you. You bring it up every season.
Because it's psychological. And I find mass consumer behavior really interesting.
Okay.
How people get talked into stuff.
And you don't believe anyone likes it.
Yep. There you go. There. It's out there.
It's a hot take.
And yet people say...
Hey, Brant, I'm calling concerning your beef with Pete. I just wanted to let you know that they do, in fact, pretty much have peeps year-round now. And they even have them in sour watermelon and fruit punch flavors now. And for people that don't like regular peeps when they're all smushy and soft and stuff, what my husband likes to do is he actually likes to puncture the packaging and then set them up on like a top shelf for 5, 6, up to 7 years until they get really hard, so mm-hmm. hard that they could probably break your teeth, and then that's when he chooses to eat them. So if you don't like them the soft way, you could try it the 7-year age.
Okay, I appreciate that mm-hmm. comment. Think about that. Let's find a way for you to somehow get these in your diet. Like, we just have to get marshmallows coated with sugar.
Yeah, so
somehow.
Her husband is getting it and then eating it 7 years later.
Right, because he doesn't like them.
Right.
But he'll engage in a 7-year process after 7 years. Now it's tolerable.
You're right. That is fascinating.
Yeah, it's really interesting, you guys. Sometimes, and maybe this is you too, you come across a Bible story and you notice details in it you didn't before. Maybe when you're a kid, you heard the story and now you're like, whoa. So we celebrate Easter week this week and Good Friday and whatnot. And then we have Palm Sunday this last Sunday. Well, Jesus got a donkey. And the way he got the donkey that he rode into Jerusalem on was he told his disciples, these guys he's with, like, go into town, you know, you'll find this donkey, go ahead and untie it and bring it here. And when people ask you, hey, what are you doing there? You're untying this donkey. You tell them the Lord needs it. Now, to me, that's pretty funny. And I don't mm-hmm. I don't know if it was meant to be funny. It may not mm-hmm. have been. But because, like, in our culture, we'd be like, oh, it's just a donkey. But in their culture, no. And in other cultures around the world, like, no, that's a valuable thing. That's like it could be somebody's car,
mm-hmm.
like in terms of your personal economy. So the idea that you would be like, okay, there's going to be a car on the street. The owners are going to come out and go, hey, what are you doing? You're hot-wiring our car. You
Lord just say needs it, so take that. That's great.
And so they had to do that. That was a real. I had to be like a real faith test. Like, mm-hmm. they're probably like, oh, boy, we're getting asked about it. Like, Yeah, the...
what was it again, Peter?
The Lord needs it. And they were like, cool with it. But I just, in retrospect, like, wow, that was probably hard to even say that. This always gets people fired up to talk about this because we can get judgmental about it really fast, too. And we've all got opinions. But there's this a huge group of people that say they love Jesus but don't belong to a church community.
Oh, I read that.
Oh, did you?
I did, yeah.
Christianity Today, big article about it, the number of people. And, of course, it's like, how dare they? Look, if that's you, I understand. I get it. A lot of us have been through a lot of stuff. That said, you know this probably. I think most people who are in that category know it, too. Like, this is not an individual sport we're playing here.
Mm-hmm.
It's like saying I'm in the NBA, but I don't want to be on a team. Like, no, you are the church by virtue of the fact that you are a follower of Jesus. And there's like 37 or something like that. I've heard that. I didn't count them, but somebody said 37 places in the New Testament where we're told to do things for one another. So how do you one another stuff? How do I?
When you're just one and not another.
Just myself. Exactly. I have to find another to do that. And the same thing goes, honestly, because people be like, well, I go to a church. I see the worship band up there, and I listen to a sermon. So therefore, I'm doing what God said. No, how do you one other in that environment too?
That's a great point.
Right. So a lot of people are like, I don't see the value of just sitting there watching something. I don't either. Honestly, I don't. But this one another thing, like you have to be in community. There's no other way. This is the way God intended it. And it's such a great picture to the world of something different because we stick it out, even though we've got problems with each other. Mm-hmm. Everything else breaks apart. Everything in the world breaks apart. But if we don't, what does that say? We're just talking about how things break up. Like relationships just naturally over time, it just happens. I mean, it's just kind of the way it is. But how awesome is it if we, who are people who say we're followers of Jesus, like stick together? And it's interesting too, I saw this study about race in the church. Sherry probably doesn't have any opinions about this, but
I don't even think about it. It's not even on my radar. And I'm slightly offended that you even brought it up.
Yeah. Well, you know what's funny is everybody's okay with preaching about it. Apparently, they did this poll, and everybody is like, "Hey, yeah, I'm great. We're fine with sermons about, you know, races and unity and all that sort of stuff in the body of Christ and all that stuff. But when it came to, do you actually need to do something? Nope."
Yeah, that's why people would invite me to panels and things like that. And great. Obviously, talking about it is wonderful. But are we going to do life together or not? If we're not, then I'd really rather not waste time talking about it.
Totally. But that checks the box of we talked about it or something.
Yeah.
But that's not true. I mean, not just about racial stuff, but just in general. Like, oh, we talked about it. No. We're missing out on something awesome. And the fact that it's a problem. Okay. Yeah, it's a problem. Mm-hmm. Okay. So it's going to take some courage. It's going to be a hassle. But that's how you grow in life. No problems, no growth. You want to run away from it? Okay, but you're not going to grow up. I mean, I know this from experience. This is for you. It's a role play for people who aren't necessarily like socially awesome. I've learned how to be really smooth.
And how?
Well, it's by bringing a topic or something like a fact that I can bring into a social situation. And we role play this so that you can learn a lot of guys follow my cue on this sort of thing to learn how to be smooth in a social situation.
Okay.
So let's do a little role play here. I need some, there we go, okay.
Oh.
Like a little social gathering, possibly a work gathering where people have name tags. And
yes.
Also there's a food up front that has like baby carrots.
Yes.
Celery.
Right.
A variety of celery, perhaps.
There's only one celery. We can go ahead and move on.
Green beans. And we go up there and say, I don't know Sherry, but she doesn't know me. But then what I do is I bring a fact, and then the conversation takes off from there, and that way, bam.
Got it.
Okay.
Hey, hi, I am Sherry.
Your stomach secretes corrosive acid.
Oh, my goodness.
It does. That helps break down these celeries. The acids in your stomach... You actually contain hydrochloric acid. It's protected by the stomach lining, but the acid in your body is actually highly corrosive.
And what department do you work in, Brant? Is it on your name tag?
And it just takes off. See how it did? You see So that's how.
No, I want you to know in that scenario, guys, if you're listening, mm-hmm. I went on in spite of what was said, not because of what was said.
She could have. Now, if she were more social, she could have launched in a discussion about pH factor.
An acid in the stomach?
Different acids.
That's smooth to you?
That could have been if she, but she needs work too. We all need work. That's what I, all I'm trying to say is all need work. Just talking about being an introvert in church culture, that can be really hard, especially, and man, this thing yesterday, they do this every week now. Woo.
It's the greeting time?
Yes.
Oh,
my goodness.
Goodness. That's no good for you, huh?
No, because, like, okay, so the church we're involved with is I don't know, 60, 70% African American?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe about 40%, I don't know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
They like to hug.
Oh, yeah.
And the guy up front, he's awesome, but he's mm-hmm. like, hey, turn and not just greet.
Hug.
Not just shake hands, not just say hi.
I'm going to start going to your church just so I can see how it all goes down. I want to see it.
No, it is horrible. And I'm like, I'm going to stick this out. But I see people several rows up, like, turn, and they see me, and then here they come.
Yes.
And they give me a full, like, most of the churches I grew up in, they give you, like, 12 seconds for that.
This is like five minutes.
Five full.
This is how I knew I wanted to work with you.
Really?
The first time I got to the interview and I went to hug you and you looked like you were being attacked.
Yeah.
And I said, this is the person I want to work with.
Yeah, good. I'm not sure why that was attractive, but.
Because I want to know why. Why is this such a threat?
I'm sorry, man. They want a hug. Like, not all churches do this.
Ours does it for a very long time, Sunday, yes.
When we're a part of a full-scale, hey, turn and hug your neighbor, and then tell him or her.
It's great.
Babylon Bee, somebody passed this along to me, this satirical site. Babylon Bee has an article, introvert fires off smoke bomb to escape church greeting time.
Oh, no. And I know someone who may do that.
Says that this girl named Carla Weslow announced that she's found an innovative way to get out of greeting time. Maintaining a calm demeanor, she flings the smoke bomb at her feet with lightning speed and accuracy, causing a cloud of thick fog to instantly envelop the vicinity and obstruct her attacker's vision. Weslow then uses those few precious moments of confusion to flee the area using a grappling hook, zip line, or other gadget stowed in her purse.
Mission Impossible, church edition.
Last line is, well, I just wanted to see how her week was going. A bewildered, coughing church member said later. That's so perfect. That's the way I feel.
It's exhausting for you.
I don't know. I don't hug strangers.
Okay.
I hug my wife. I hug mm-hmm. the kids naturally.
Yeah.
But I don't know that guy or that woman.
Well, they're trying to get to know you.
Can we do it?
Is it the hugging or just the... everyone stand up and exchange addresses with everyone.
Everyone
and then
stand
we'll,
up and email
we'll
each other.
Email each other.
I can't.
Like, as an introvert, how else are you going to get to know people in the church? Would it be through maybe auxiliaries or different things that are going on?
Like, you know, the best thing for me and any guy, I think,
mm-hmm.
maybe women too, but just like it's through shared activities. Like if it's like, hey, Saturday, we're going to work here sorting clothes for the whatever. And then
okay.
if I can jump in on that, then I'm doing something.
Yeah.
And then if we're talking, I hear somebody's into World War I or something, then mm-hmm. I'm like, hey, mm-hmm. well, let's talk about Woodrow Wilson or whatever.
While we're sorting these clothes.
So that way, it's through doing stuff together.
Okay.
It's through serving people. That's the best way to me. I'm not saying it's bad to do that other stuff.
Yeah.
I got to adapt. That's the thing, too. For other introverts, like I'm an introvert, too. I have to adapt.
Mm-hmm.
We're in the world. If I'm going to love people, I have to go out of my comfort zone. Okay.
Because as an extrovert, I'm thinking, I don't need this. I know how to go up to and say hi to people after church or whatever. But I'm thinking for an introvert, this is necessary because
you're thinking, here's my chance to terrorize some people. I know
if
exactly.
If terror is what you decide to feel, that's between you and the Lord. I myself am thinking this is good for him.
Probably,
this is good for them.
Probably is. If you've been listening to this radio station right now for more than 5, 10, 15 minutes, you've heard songs about who God is, about Jesus. At first, it might freak you out, like, what's going on here? A lot of people are cool with the Christianity thing for a little while until it comes to this idea that, wait a second, in heaven, are you telling me that Jesus is saying he's going to divide people up, and then some people are going to be welcome into heaven and some people aren't. And that throws people. That doesn't seem fair. My question would be, like, do you know what heaven is going to be like? I mean, none of us know exactly what it's going to be like, but I do know this, and that is God is the king, totally the king there. He's in charge. So I kind of wonder why some people would even want that. I mean, if you don't want it now, if you don't want him in charge now, why would he force you into something you don't want? I hope that makes sense.
It does.
I think the idea that what God's going to do for the world is what everybody's actually really yearning for. And when he's king, everything is set right. We find justice is there and love as we've never experienced it before. But I don't think everybody wants that. I think we can reject him even now. He's offering us his love now and his forgiveness now, and yet people still walk away. Education news, and this is not good news from the world of education, though some might think it is. The University of Utah is offering you, think about this, you can get a scholarship in video games. Scholarship.
Scholarship in video games.
Like a full ride.
To learn more about video games?
Because you're good at video games, you can compete in the NCAA video game competitions, which they do have.
I did not know that
yes,
even existed. Okay.
Now you can get a scholarship. Here's the problem with this.
Mm-hmm.
And I know, like, middle school video game guys, I know you because I've been you.
Okay.
To some extent, I still am.
Still a common thread.
Here's
there.
The problem. You're going to be like, but Mom, mm-hmm. I can earn a scholarship. Mm-hmm. That's what's going to happen now.
Oh, so when she tells you stop playing the video games, like this, you're like, but this is my upward mobility.
Because parents can be like, you're wasting time.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, but no, this is my ticket to the big time.
Oh, University of Utah, why did you do it?
That's what I was thinking. Because I glommed on to the slightest study, like when I was in seventh grade or whatever. But Mom, hand-eye coordination is enhanced by the blah, blah, blah. Did she buy it? No. But if I would have had the scholarship thing.
Yeah, that's a lot of leverage.
Maybe. You are now sitting with us, that's right, in the Honesty Cafe. This is an awesome cafe where Sherry and I hang out, talk about stuff. People listen to the show.
We love it.
We do. And we'll just give you a question. There's no right or wrong answer, whatever. Just want to hear what you think about this. Not a real difficult thing here today. I think we got Lizzie. Lizzie, what topic could you talk about for hours? Like, just without getting tired of it. You just go on and on about this topic because you love it so much, you know?
Well, I guess lately it's been surgery because that's what I'm studying.
Now,
so I can talk about that pretty extensively.
Okay. Let's talk about it for hours. Here we go.
Oh, here we go. Brent, you're going to ask her a question?
Seen any good
surgeries lately?
Gallbladder removal. Lately?
So, as my clinicals are starting next week, I was able to go to the hospital and meet people, and I got to stand in the OR for probably close to an hour. And I'm like, oh my goodness, it was so cool. I got to see this, and I got to see that, and I got to see the tool that they use on that. And it's like, I get really fired up about it. It's kind of funny.
I think it's cool too. I don't understand.
Like, looking inside someone?
Yeah, the human body is just fascinating.
Mm.
Just,
it is. It's amazing.
Yes, on so many different levels, micro, macro, everything in between. Like, what? I actually don't understand not being interested, but I've been in the OR for many surgeries,
mm-hmm.
oddly enough, just to observe, but I haven't been grossed out.
With the
but
blood.
I've been with people
stuff.
That are like, oh, I'm going to pass out. Like,
yeah.
Okay, I don't understand. I really don't.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, but you would.
Yeah.
That's fine.
I promise you I would hit that ground so hard the surgery would then have to be on me. But I'm not fascinated.
Okay, everybody shift to the left.
Jerry's down.
Holding
down.
Yeah. All right. Talked a lot about social stuff on the show today. And as somebody who's naturally not outgoing, and naturally doesn't make friends easily and all that sort of stuff, the easiest thing for people like me to do, and maybe this is you too, is just to avoid people and avoid conflict. I read one writer who calls it pseudo-community. That's when you get a group of people that just kind of pretend the conflicts aren't there, the problems aren't there.
Mm-hmm.
But any real relationships mean conflict. You're going to have, even with your best friend, even with your wife or husband, you're, you know, somebody you feel totally close to. It's just
that's when I know we're friends, actually.
Right.
If it's not there, then I'm like, this isn't real. But if we butt heads, then I'm like, okay. Because you feel comfortable enough with me that you know I'm not leaving.
And don't you think, like, God uses those times more than other times? Like, he uses that to help you grow more than non-conflict times?
Mm-hmm.
Like, he uses times when you actually need some courage more than it does when you don't? Like, he uses it when you're uncomfortable more than when you're comfortable? And then that's how you actually grow up?
This has been the Brant and Sherry Oddcast, sponsored by MediShare. To find out more about the radio show or Brant's book, Unoffendable, go to BrantHanson.com.